this one. And he made excuses on why he couldn't do it. Now, we know that there's no other way. But what if there was? And what if Jesus decided he didn't want to be the way? We should be exuberant. We should be thrilled to know that Jesus Christ willfully gave his life up to make you new, to make me new, to make this whole world new. The whosoever's, anyone who is willing to call upon the name of the Lord will be saved, shall be saved. It takes sacrifice. Sacrifice isn't always easy. Most of the time, sacrifice is very hard and very difficult. It means giving up something that you may really enjoy. It may mean giving up that comfortable recliner on a Sunday evening when you've taken that Sunday nap after a nice lunch. It may mean you having to go to bed a little earlier, to get up a little earlier, to spend some time in God's Word, but it means sacrifice. Are you willing to make the sacrifice? The ultimate sacrifice has already been made, and we're reaping the benefit of it. But we're not fully doing what all God has called us to do. None of us are. Not fully. Looking at this scripture today, in Isaiah chapter 43, God is in the midst of restoring Israel, his people. Weren't deserving of, but God chose them. And we're going to see here in these verses how he reminds them of who he is and who they are in his life. Now, we are the Gentile nation, but at the same time, these verses here speak to the Jews, but they also speak to you and me today. Look at verse 16 of chapter 43. First of all, look at verse 15, a bold proclamation, a bold statement made by Jesus himself, the Lord. He says, I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. Now, verse 16 says, thus saith the Lord, which maketh the way in the sea, and a path in the mighty waters, which bringeth forth the chariot and horse, the army and the power. They shall lie down together, they shall not rise. They are extinct, they are quenched as tow. Remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Here in verses 16 and 17, God is calling on his people to remember their great deliverance from Egypt. But not only that, he is specifically speaking of his deliverance through the Red Sea. He says there in 17, it brings forth the chariot and the horse, the army, the power. They shall lie down together. That speaks of the passing of the Red Sea. The Egyptian army that was chasing in behind them. The waters parted. As soon as they entered, what happened? The sea collapsed around them. They were no longer there. They were dead. He speaks of that. He tells them the importance of God. I will lead you if you will trust me. If you will believe in me, I will take you through that Red Sea. I will take you through any trial and tribulation that you may face. He tells that to his people here in Isaiah, and he tells it to me today, and I share it with you today. This is one of many times where God's hand was upon his people, his chosen people. And so I want you to think about this and how you can relate these two verses, 16 and 17, to your life specifically. If you think about the times in your life that you have been trotting through the sea, that you've been trotting through the sea of life, and you're there thinking about how bogged down you are and that you just can't make it, but God can part that sea for you. We have the ability to reflect on our failures, and unfortunately, I think we find ourselves doing that more so than we should. That's important for you to understand today, that it is okay to reflect on your failures, to be able to recognize where you fail. Now, we use the word fail, or we use the word mistake as a nice word or a cover-up to say sin, to say iniquity, to say transgression. But I'm speaking of failures in sin. And we think about how we fail and all the mistakes that we make. It's good to reflect on those things, but do not ever dwell on them. Do not ever abide in your failures. That's what Satan wants you to do, but God wants you to do the opposite. He wants you to be able to give it to him. He wants to make you new. He wants to heal your broken spirit, your broken body, your broken demeanor. God will always make things new. But he can't make you new if you don't submit, if you don't repent. So think about that. Just in this past year alone, 2018, even the days that we've lived in 2019, how many times already has God parted that sea for you? Willfully. His greatest desire is to part that sea for you, to take you through that sea of life. And as soon as he takes you through that sea of life and he gets you through that problem, he lets things go back to the way they once were. And guess what? That sin, that failure, that transgression is no longer remembered. Just like those horses and those chariots and those Egyptian men who were fighting for Pharaoh, they were no more. Your sins will be no more. The exodus of God's people is so poetically described in these two verses alone, in verse 16 and 17. God doesn't want you to forever forget all that he's done for you. He wants you to remember those things. But he also wants you to realize all that he has done for you, he will continually do for you, and he will continually make things new for you. He says he doesn't want you to remember the things of old. And what my interpretation of this is that he doesn't want you to loathe in self-pity. He doesn't want you to worry about those past iniquities. And we're very guilty of finding a way to loathe in self-pity, all of us. We find ways to make excuses of why we don't want to serve God, or why our countenance is so crushed, because things have not gone the way that we hoped, or maybe even the way in which you prayed for. But that's not what God's all about. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's about him. And when we come to the realization that it's all about the cross, it is all about God Almighty, he will use every trial and tribulation in which you've endured, and it will be for his good. It's sometimes hard to see that. But he will use all things for his good. He even used evil men and evil women in the Bible for his good. How many of you here today made the resolution, or as I've told you, Brody calls it, the revolution? How many of you have made a resolution? Did anybody? If you didn't, I mean, that's no big deal. Only a few people. All right, well, great. But you know, when we make those resolutions, we have great intentions. Whether it be to eat healthy, whether it be to exercise more, whether it be to read our Bibles more, whether it be to be more faithful here at church, or be a better husband, be a better wife, a better child of God in general. We make those proclamations. We make these resolutions because we want to start brand new. We look at January the 1st as an opportunity to start brand new. And what God wants for you is to look at every day that he gives you to start afresh. And why is that possible? Because if you come unto him every day as you should, every opportunity, and you repent to God and you ask him to clean your sin-filled slate, to make you new, every single day can be a new day for you, a new day dawning for you, because God gives you another opportunity to serve him, to live for him, to be faithful to him, so he can wipe your sins away. That is the great thing of what Jesus does in our lives. He gives us the opportunity. Anytime you choose to come unto him, he forgives you of your sins immediately. There's not a time period that you have to wait. You don't have to fill out paperwork and submit it and hope that he stamps approved or forgiven. He's already forgiven you. He's already approved you. He wants you just to come unto him, repenting of your sinful ways. We read here in his word in verses 18 and 19 where God wants to turn the hearer's attention to something new. He doesn't want his people to consider the things of old. Look back at verses 18 and 19. He says, "Remember you not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." The hearers are the Israelites, but the hearers for our present day are those who are willing to listen to the Master. Do you listen? Do you listen to the Master? Are you able to even hear the master so that you can listen? There's a huge difference. I hear Amanda asking me to do things sometimes, but I choose not to listen and adhere to it. My children hear me saying, do this, but, oh, excuse me, speaker. My children hear me saying, do this, but they don't listen enough to fulfill it. Are we able to hear God? And if you're not able to hear God, that's because you're not listening. Now, if you're not a child of God, you're not going to hear Him. You've got to be able to repent and become a child of God in order for Him to speak to you, to hear you, so that you can hear Him. But it's important that you recognize that you have to be so close to God, that you're in His Word, that you're praying, that you're striving daily to be like Him, so that you can hear Him, so that He can direct your path. The original exodus of God's people didn't exhaust God's powers. Understand and know this, that God can never be exhausted. His ways will never be exhausted. But what this example gives us in Isaiah 43 is just another pattern of a new deliverance, a new style of exodus for His people. The concept that God is wanting to display and teach within this text is that His Jewish exiles, He does not want them to live in the past, that He should always want to look for them to be brought to the future because of His power, His ability to deliver. He wants to bring them home from Babylon through this or through another exodus. And in this occurrence, He does this through the wilderness. And notice what He says in verse 19. He says, I will even make a way for you in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. They're out in the desert, and God's going to provide for them. He's going to give them a source of life, the river. He's always going to provide for them. There is no clear path moving forward for these people. There's really no clear path for you and I sometimes. But God will always create one. We don't always see the clear path, but God does. God knows exactly what's around the corner. He knows exactly what will come your way immediately, each and every day. Before your feet hit the floor, He knows what your day is going to be like. He sees the path. He will clear the path. Understand that when there is no natural relief or refreshment, God will always provide. And I think that's important for us to understand and know is this, that We try to find relief in the world. We try to find relief in everything that is man-made. But we aren't willing to come to the ultimate relief giver. That is God. He will always provide you with relief. It may not be instantaneous, but He's there with you to lead you and to guide you, to make you new. God knew that this concept that He was demonstrating toward His Israelites, His people, He knew how pertinent it was for them. But in this very present day in which you and I live, if you study and you heed His word, He will allow you to apply this very same discernment upon your life. And that's what we have to seek and search for, is the ultimate discernment from God. God does not want you living in the past. He wants you to live for the future. He wants you to live for eternity. He wants you to live so that you can show others the importance of kingdom growth, so that you can have spiritual growth within your own life. You are a representation of the Jewish exiles. You should not live in the past. God wants to bring you home from Babylon. Something that we will be studying in Revelation. Another reason why I encourage you to come back is we study this wonderful book. The world in which we live is Babylon. God wants to deliver His people from Babylon. But we won't have to worry about being led by Moses. As Moses led His people faithfully, you will be led by Jesus Christ Himself. When God sends His Son to bring you home, His bride, you will make your final journey to the place that He's prepared for you. Whether you're young or old here today, do you ever think about that? Do you ever think about the place that He's prepared for you? In all of His goodness, in all of His wonder, think about how He has already laid up that mansion for you. That crown of righteousness is already laid up for you. As He parts the sea of life for you daily, do not forget that Jesus Christ makes all things new. I'd like for you to turn to Revelation 21 at this time, please. Look at verse 5. Revelation 21, verse 5. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. Turn to Revelation 22, verses 12 and 13. These are the words of Jesus Christ Himself as He says, And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his works shall be. And then verse 13 says, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. He is the first and He is the last. And behold, I come quickly. That is why we have to be ready, because He's going to come quickly. And He tells you right here that He's going to reward you. He's going to give every man according as his work shall be. If you have been made new in Christ, your works will show it. We do not gain entry into heaven because of our works. We work because God has allowed us entry into heaven. That is why we work. That is why we serve a risen Savior. That is why our desire should be to do everything that is pleasing in His sight. A.W. Tozer once said, Of all persons, the Christian should be best prepared for what the new year brings. In Christ, He has disposed of 1,000 enemies that other men must face alone and unprepared. The Christian can face tomorrow cheerful and unafraid. End quote. Do you face tomorrow? Did you face today cheerful and unafraid? Are you willing to allow Him to make you new? Maybe you have been a Christian longer than I've been alive. Maybe you've only been a Christian for a short time of life. But maybe it's time for a rededication. For Him to make you afresh, to make you new, to find that fervor that you once had when you were on fire for God. When you remember the day that the Holy Spirit began to stir within your heart, and you may have made that walk down a long aisle, and you looked your preacher in the face and you told him you were a sinner, and you wanted to be saved by God's infinite grace. You remember that day? I do. Soon be 34 years ago, and I remember it like it was yesterday. But over time, I lost my fervor. I lost my desire. And then I realized I needed to make things new. Allow Him to make you new, to cleanse you of all unrighteousness. Our closing scripture today will be found on the screen above. It's Titus chapter 2, verses 11 through 55. And I want you to listen to these words. If you're able to read them up there, if not, turn to your Bible. Titus 2, verses 11 through 15. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us, now understand, to all men, that means mankind. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present world. That's hard to do. It's hard to live this way in the present world, to live a godly life, to eradicate the desires of the world, to eradicate the desires of the flesh. But look what verse 13 tells us to do. It says, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. There is nothing that is more important than his word. There is no greater authority given among men here that we stand today that is greater than the word of God Almighty. Not even the United States of the Constitution trumps what we hold here today. You've got to believe it. You've got to take it. And you got to apply it to your life every single day. You got to make sure that you allow him to make all things new within you. There are people sitting here today. There are people you work with that are going to die and they're going to go to hell because they do not know Jesus. And we are scared. We're afraid. We're ashamed to talk to them about God. We can't be that way. We have no reason to be scared. Verse 13, look for that blessed hope. That blessed hope that we're looking for is no other than Jesus Christ himself. He is the designated blessed hope. There is never going to be another blessed hope like Jesus Christ. He was designated. He was created. He left his throne on high to be that designated blessed hope for you. And so in that constant anticipation, it says here to wait. And this doesn't just mean wait while you twiddle your thumbs wondering or when Jesus is going to show up. This is a desire to wait eagerly. This is a desire to wait and look and wonder with great eagerness. And while you wait, you serve the Lord with gladness, waiting for his arrival. The appearing of Christ is the next great event on God's prophetic calendar. Christ will come for his bride. And this is every true believer in Jesus Christ. And when he comes for you, and when he comes for me, when he comes for the church, we will be caught up and we will see him just as he is. You will be made new. It should be anyone's desire, whether you're a pastor, whether you're a teacher, if you're a child of God, to live a life pleasing to God. To show people that there is only one way. There is only one way for great hopes for tomorrow. There is only one way to be made brand new. Behold, he will make all things new, and the former things shall pass away. In a moment, we're going to partake of this supper that has been set before us. The Lord's Supper is a representation of Christ's lifeblood in his body. And if you're worshiping here with us today and you're a visitor and you've made that proclamation that you are a child of God and you've been a sinner and you've been saved by grace, please participate in this service with us today. But we're going to have an opportunity now with every eye closed and head bowed. This altar is open. If you feel the desire to come down this morning, come down just to pray, allowing him to make you anew, to cleanse your heart of that unrighteousness. Let us take this time to reflect.